And thank you for your sincere, heartfelt, genuine, honest, faithful participation in the offering, and also your availability this morning, and just being here, just coming with an expectation and a verwagting in your heart. Jy's nie hier so om enigiemand te beïndruk nie, of jy wil nie gesig wys vir enigiemand nie. Ek glo en vertrou elke persoon wat hier so is. Jy's hier so met 'n verwagting in jou hart. Terwyl ons gaan bid het, die laaste liedjie, kom hierdie gedagte dan by my op. Ek sien dan 'n persoon wat besig is om Milo voor te berei. En ek drink nie koffie of tee nie, maar ek drink graag so nou en dan 'n bietjie Milo wanneer ek lus het daarvoor. En ek geniet wat mense noem dan melk Milo. Nie water Milo met dan 'n bietjie melk om dit witterig te maak nie. Ek hou van melk Milo. Jy kan die Milo oplos in 'n bietjie water, maar hy moet bestaan uit meestal melk. En ek sien hier 'n ding waar daar's melk in die beker. En dan sit jy Milo jare terug. Ek weet nie of my maag dalk bietjie kleiner was of my tuisbuds anderste jare terug toe ek 'n chokkertjie was. Twee lepels, teelepels Milo was meer as genoeg, hoor. Vandag jy moet ten minste vier gehoopte teelepels Milo hê om dieselfde smaak gee. Is dit net ek? OK, almal op die so iets het gebeur daar. Maar ek sien die melk is dan warm en jy sit die Milo op, so vier lepels. Dis nie eintlik Milo totdat dit geroer word. Dit moet so geroer word. Is roer die regte woord? You got to stir it, isn't it? And it's like that. That's why we sing, because it's not, oh well, this is the routine at Barker's Church. We sing a couple of songs, announcements, preach. The singing is supposed to stir our hearts, so that die besprinkeling van die woord ons kan verander, that it changes us. And I encourage you that when we do that, when we worship together, it's not just, ja, hier is 'n paar liedjies. Let the Spirit of God stir your soul, that you can be receptive, and then you can go from just milk to Milo. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Got your Bibles, turn with me, or on your touch screens, your phones, whatever device you're looking at the Word of God this morning, to the 8th chapter of the book of Romans and the 29th verse. For the last couple of weeks, to recap, we've been speaking about position, potential, and purpose. And we've looked at what does it mean to be positioned. We asked ourselves the question is, what is your position in Christ? In other words, who do you see yourself as in Jesus? When you relate to God, how do you see yourself in terms of God and who He is, and also where He is? We also looked at our position in terms of, as the Church of Jesus, as a Christian, what is your position in this country? What is your role as the Church of Jesus Christ in South Africa and then also globally? And then more recently, we looked at position means having a mindset or an attitude that I position myself in a place where ek besef ek moet leer, ek moet groei. Ek kom nie net kerk toe om saam met die ouens te kuier of dis iets wat gedoen moet word, anders te slaap ek nie lekker saans nie of whatever. Ek kom kerk toe, die samesyn van die gelowiges is vir 'n spesifieke rede. Being positioned correctly means you have a mindset and an attitude of I'm here to grow. I don't know about you, but if we coming to church and doing all the Christian things and our outreach events and our fellowship in the week, and if we're not growing by that, it's just, something's missing, man, sir. We got to be growing. We got to be changing. That's why we're doing what we're doing. I don't come to church. May I just be real with you this morning? I don't come to church and preach to get a salary. I was sent here being told, Mozzie, I can't even guarantee you that they're going to pay you. And I said, when can I start? Hello? So I come here because I believe that God wants to do something through normal is a sitting on a washing machine, but through people like you and me. God wants to do something through broken lives like yours and mine, to do something special that's busy changing this planet. That's why I pitch up Sunday after Sunday, because I believe in what God is doing. And that's what it means to be positioned. Having a mindset that I'm doing this to grow. This week I want to start on your potential. Your potential. Who you are in Jesus Christ. One of the intercessors in the prayer group this morning shared something with me afterwards as we were busy leaving. And it's this idea. And that I had no idea what I'm speaking about this morning. And it's this. When you looked at yourself in the mirror this morning, if you did, and some of you, I'm not so sure. Just kidding. You're more than who you saw in the mirror. You're more than who you think you are. Like it is with God. God is more than who we think He is. God is more than any man has ever preached that He is. God is more than who we believe He is. He's bigger and He's more awesome than anything that we can even try and describe Him. Al het Hy Homself en sy hart blootgestel aan ons in 66 boeke, wat ons die Bybel, He's more than all of that. And you this morning, my brother, my sister, you are more than you believe you are. Now, this is not a feel-good message to make you feel good. This is, I believe, God wanting to tell us this morning to realize who we are in Christ Jesus and the potential of who we are in Him. That's what this is about. And in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, in the NLT, reads it as follows. It says, "For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son, so that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." I want to emphasize, He chose them to become like His Son. Father, we do not take for granted the privilege that we have of reading Your Word this morning. As Kuba said, Lord God, a man was burnt at the stake because he translated the Bible into English for the first time. And Lord, I acknowledge my dependency upon You. I'm just a person, Lord, and I ask that You, by Your Spirit, move beyond the limitations of my speech. And You give to each one of us this morning exactly what we need to hear from You. In Jesus' name. Amen. God has chosen us to become like Jesus. God's Word has declared over us who we actually meant to be. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13, it says the following. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, and it starts to list them. Speak about the fivefold ministry. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church. So guess what? It's clear. I'm going to paraphrase it. My responsibility is to equip you so that I can go and do the work. Right?
No.
So that you can do the work. That's it. Some of you are like, "Hm, kom jy altyd dinkend dit is jou werk, mos?" No, it's your job to build a church. Yes, it is my job too. My job is to equip the people so that we can go and build Jesus' church. Now, He's building it whether we like it or not, whether we work with Him or not, but we have the privilege of being part and parcel of that building process. And that's why He's given us the fivefold ministry, to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. And this will continue. That to me is such encouragement there. Because, folks, if you come to church long enough, there's going to come a time where you're going to be discouraged. Nobody's saying amen. Well, dan het jy nog nie lang genoeg kerk toe gekom nie. I'm not a naysayer or a negative person. I'm a very positive person by nature. God has made me like that. But if you come to church long enough, there's going to come a time when you're going to be discouraged. Things won't always be going the way you expected them to. The life of faith and this walk with Jesus won't always be maanskyn en rose. Yes, there'll be glimmers of the moonshine and a rose of twee hier of daar and a rosa of twee. Waar's rosa vir oggend te sê? She's not here. Okay. There's going to be those moments. But folks, church is real. Church is real. There's real people doing real life, and sometimes we're going to experience discouragement. But what encourages me from this, it says, and this will continue. Whether we're doing it right or wrong, Jesus is going to be building His church. And that this work will continue until we all come to such unity. Now, there already there's another lesson for me there. This work is going to continue until what? Till we reach a certain size? Till we own our own property? Till we have X amount of buildings? Till we have a certain amount of members? Till our bank balance? What is the until? Up until when is this work going to continue? This work is going to continue until this happens. Till we all come. Everybody say, we all. Dis almal van ons. Vir die van ons wat die Here ken, maar 6 maande en die wat al 6 dekades saam met hom loop. Is anybody that's been walking with Jesus for 6 decades? Yeah, I don't think so. No. So we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord. So there's the goal. This work will continue by these oaks, equipping these people to get us to the point that we all come to such maturity in our faith and the knowledge of God's Son that we are mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full potential and complete standard of Christ. That's your potential. God has destined for every man, woman, and child that is born again to measure up to the full potential and stature of Jesus. So hierdie idee van Jesus is there and I am here en die twee gaan nooit by mekaar uitkom nie is unscriptural. From the beginning, when God said, let there be. In fact, even before that, the Bible says, before he laid the foundation of this earth, he had these beautiful ideas in mind, and this building is full of them this morning. And his plan and purpose for you was this, that we measure up to the full and complete standard of Jesus. Now, you see algemene gesegde van vandag, and in English it's called a cop-out. The cop-out is, ach, mos, jy weet, ek is maar net menslik. Ja, jy is net menslik. But if you've said yes to Jesus and the Spirit of God has changed you, you're a supernatural being that if you let him, God will breathe his life in and through you and you will do some amazing things in the name of Jesus. We got to understand that you are not meant to be a victim of circumstances and you're not meant to be enslaved and entrapped in whatever it is that you're battling with now. Some people think that the Christian walk is a life of continuous struggle against sin. Now guys, we've been set free from the power of sin, but not the presence of sin. Hello? The presence of sin is all around us. In fact, the you, the real you, lives inside sin. You're like, huh? Well, guess what? Just pinch yourself quickly. Pinch yourself. That which you've just pinched is a sinful body. It's sinful. The flesh is always warring against the spirit. But the you that it's been changed by the Word of God, the you in whom the Spirit of God dwells, that teaches you and tells you, this is the way that Jesus wants things to be done, lives inside sin. So we've been set free from the power of sin, but not its presence. What I'm trying to say is this, that you're not just a slave of sin, struggling to overcome these issues over and over. Dis maar my lot in die lewe. Ek moet maar so sukkel. Laasweek het ons gesê, jy vra dan mense, hoe gaan dit met hulle? That wasn't me. Jy vra hulle, hoe gaan dit met julle? Sê hulle, arme darm. That's not who you are. God has a better plan for you. He has a bigger, better picture for you. His future for you is brighter than you ever dreamed possible for yourself. And folks, that is our potential. Our potential is this, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Now, it might sound pie in the sky, but folks, it's God's destiny and purpose for us. Because the world doesn't need another group of religious people. The world doesn't need that. That was already here when Jesus came. When Jesus came, he found the world full of religious idiots. I'm going to net say who it is. Religious Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't-sees and wouldn't-sees. Hulle wou net nie gesien nie. Hulle wou net nie gegloed, net nie gehoor het wat hy te sê gehad het nie. He already found religion, ja. Wat beteken het as ek sê religion? I'm not talking about religion as is described in the book of James. The book of James describes religion, pure and undefiled religion before God is this. Taking care of widows and orphans. And keeping oneself spotless from the world. Not that religion in the sense of rules and regulations and systems and methods and things that we think must be in place for us to be okay. God doesn't want us to be like that. God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us, he's called us to be a people like his son. That's who we're called to be. We're not called to be religious people that come up with these rules and regulations. He's called us to be like Jesus. So when you said yes to Jesus and you gave your life to Jesus, this is his plan. This is the potential that God has inside each child of God to measure up to the full and complete standard of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to have faith in yourself. I'm not talking about arrogant confidence, but faith in yourself and believing in, I have these gifts and I have these talents. It's another thing to have faith in and confidence in the faith that other people have in you, but it's something completely different to have confidence in the faith that God has in you. Let's just break that up a little bit this morning. It's one thing to be encouraged by the faith that others have in you. Come on, you can do it. You can do it. I'm reminded of the story about the soldiers that are entrenched in a battle. They're in the trenches and they're shooting and there's mortars going over them and rockets and bullets and everything like that. And they shout out, "We need support! We need support!" They call on the radio. And then the airplane flies overhead above them with dragging one of those things behind the airplane that says, "Come on guys, you can do it." That's not the kind of support that they needed. They need other kind of support because they was busy being scooped. It's one thing having confidence in the faith that others have in you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Thessalonicense, faith in verse 11. 1 Thessalonicense, faith in verse 11 say, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." That's where we encourage each other and we support each other and people say, "Come on, you can do it. I know you can." That's one thing. Then it's another thing having faith in yourself because of who you are in Christ. We've been speaking about being positioned and seeing who we are in Christ, that we're seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2 and verse 6 says that. Seeing who you are and confidence in who you are. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And then it's all together something completely different when you have confidence in the faith that God has in you. And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning. These things in the Word of God have been declared over you because God knows the full potential above and beyond the who that you see in the mirror. I want to say this morning. You are more than the sum of your past failures. And you're more than the sum of your successes. You're more than all of that. Your past failures, your successes, all of that together, you're more than that. We need to get ourselves to the place where we realize that we are who God says we are. And God says this about us. When God has faith in you, Jesus says in John 14 and verse 12, he says, "I tell you the truth." That means it's not a lie. "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done." Okay. Now, I want to stop there. So what were the kind of works that Jesus did? What kind of works did Jesus do? Speak to me, church. Yes. All of those things. So, when was the last time you raised somebody from the dead? Like, now I understand there's different times and different places, and I don't understand why some people do get healed and some don't. I still don't understand that. But I know this, that we mustn't stop believing that God still does that. We mustn't stop believing that God is still the same miracle working God of the Bible, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. And when Jesus says that we're going to do greater things than he has done, he means we're going to do greater things than he has done. Because Jesus had 3.5, there or thereabouts, years on this planet. And then he went back to be with the Father to start preparing our home with him. And then he said, "Right, boys, have at it. Go and get him. I've called you. I've anointed you. I've appointed you. I'm going to equip you when the Holy Spirit comes. He's going to enable you to do all of these things. He's going to remind you of everything that I taught you. Go and do it." And Jesus said, we're going to be able to do greater things than he has done. Do we believe that? Or was Jesus just like, was it like a mind game? He's using like reverse psychology on us, bluffing us into thinking that we're going to achieve like spectacular things in our lifetime. No, because Jesus knew our potential. He knew our potential. You know that the size of Jesus' church consisted of 12 families? If you're in a family in this church, raise your hand. There's more than 12 families here. Do you see the point? Do you see the point? Jesus' church consisted of 12 families. There's more than 12 families represented here. Jesus has said, we will do greater works than these. Sometimes, ons kyk heeltemal verby die wonderwerke wat God verrig op 'n daaglikse basis, dinkend dit is net wanneer 'n persoon uit die dood uit opstaan. Dis nie net dan nie. There are other miracles that happen around us all the time. The fact that this earth is still spinning at the speed it's supposed to is a miracle. 20 something kilometers per second. I don't know. There or thereabouts. And it's scientists have proven that it used to be spinning faster and it's slowing down, slowing down, slowing down. All sorts of things like that. But that's a miracle. The fact that some asteroid hasn't knocked us off course or something, that itself isn't a miracle. The fact that everything there is just working because God has said, let it be. That is a miracle of note. And I think, I learned this a couple of years ago. I think it's beautiful. We say the miracles is the dead rise and all these. I think the biggest miracle that God has ever done, that Jesus has ever pulled off, is His church. Think about that. His church. All these people being hellbound, the eternal destiny being turned around, then going in another direction. All of these people who once belonged to the devil, taken away from the devil, now belong to God. He then puts His Spirit inside of them and they get up to amazing things. All of these people from these different walks of life, with different work together to do things beautiful in this earth. Folks, that is a miracle. The miracle of the body of Christ. The miracle that we can come and edify each other and support each other and challenge each other and speak into each other's lives and encourage each other and come to serve each other. Folks, that's a miracle. And it happens all the time in churches all over the world, day in and day out. That's a miracle. And God has called us to do that. And Jesus says, you will go and do greater things than I have done because I'm going to be with the Father. And then in John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, peace be with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, peace be with you. Please do that. Come on, man. So you said, peace be with you. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. That's the belief that God has in you. That's the confidence that God has in you. Does the Bible say anywhere, do not jump off a building and try and fly? Does it say that anywhere? Because we can't do that, right? We can't fly. Even there's a song that says, I believe I can fly. Kuba says he can, but he needs something to assist him to do that. But God does say, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. What's the point? God is sending us to do something that He knows we can do. To each and every single one of us here this morning, regardless of the struggles you're going through right now, whatever the most difficult thing is that you're going through right now, the challenge, the thing that you've tried to get right over and over and over, besides all of that, God is saying about you this morning that in you, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if you let the Holy Spirit work through you, in you is the potential to be like Jesus and to go and do greater things than Jesus has done. As a child, I grew up, parts of me that are just, no, God, I don't want to grow up. I grew up building model airplanes. And there was a particular hobby shop that we used to walk to from our home. And I used to go in there and look at all these model airplanes. And I used to look at the pictures on the boxes and They were beautifully illustrated. Normal propeller aeroplanes, some jet aircraft, some of them were small little boxes, some of them were bigger. Is there anybody here that can relate to what I'm saying? Please help me. Thank you, Jesus. I thought my childhood was weirder than most. Yeah, that's somebody that can really relate to that. I used to look at the pictures of these planes on the boxes, and they were so beautifully illustrated. Some of them were actually in flight, some of them on the ground, some of them had the little pilots in, and they were in their full glory and splendor on the pictures and the boxes. And they came in different scales, 1/72nd scale, 1/48th scale, and I could never afford the next scale because it was too expensive because they were too big. And I used to take these model airplanes, and you look at the picture on the box, and you open it up. It doesn't look like that. It's all these pieces. And then there's the sheet of all the stickers on that you've got to cut out, and you put it in water, and it lifts off, and then you take that. And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's okay. We still love you. But it's all these pieces that are made by these high-precision plastic injection molding machines. You've got to clip them out. And I used to diff my mom's nail files and sand it and prepare little nail clippers and tweezers. And little bit by little bit, build the pieces of this model airplane according to the instructions together, bit by bit by bit. And you make this little part and you leave it. And then it's got to dry. And then it takes you to the next part. And remember the joy and excitement as this little thing came together, piece by piece by piece. And it's like that with our lives, with God. You see, God already sees the complete package, who you are in Christ Jesus. He already sees the opportunities that He places for you on your life's journey. He already sees the complete picture. In the mind of that artist, that creator, the person that created that model, He knew exactly how this meant to be. He knew it. And all the potential, all the pieces, everything, and the instruction manual, the instructions, is there in the package. And it's like that with our lives. God sees the completed picture. Sometimes, on sin, on self, as it is, net here, this little minuscule one little part, and all these other people, maybe somebody's come along and broke all those pieces, and the pieces are missing, and maybe your life is like that. I don't know where you are at this morning. But the good news is that God knows exactly where you are at. God sees the complete picture. He sees the potential that you have to be like His Son, Jesus. My encouragement to you this morning is, would you just make yourself available to the master craftsman, the one who works with people like nobody else can? Would you just let God take the pieces of your life that don't necessarily make sense and bring them together according to the picture that He sees? You see, we sometimes find ourselves in that little box of that model airplane, and we don't have an idea what it looks like on the outside. We don't even realize that there's an instruction manual it's not called an instruction manual, I don't know what it is, but the plan or the schematic diagrams of how to build that model. And God comes along with the principles of His Word, where we can read His Word and get an idea and our picture of how and who we meant to be in Christ Jesus. So would you allow God this morning to take together the bits of you, the pieces of you? Perhaps the devil has stolen. Perhaps it's lost in a broken relationship. Perhaps it's fragmented because of hurts from the past. Hurts you're currently going through. Difficulties you're currently facing. I don't know whether the devil has thrown at you, but God knows. Would you allow God this morning to come and just put those pieces together, bit by bit by bit? As we get ready to worship the Lord together one more time, right there where you're seated, take an honest look at your life. And I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've believed the lies of the devil for too long, and the criticisms of people and things that people have spoken over you. And maybe you've given them just cause to do so and reason to do so. Maybe you're genuine druggemaak, but the good news is that Jesus Christ has paid a price for you this morning. So that whether we deserve it or not, if we let Him, God will put the pieces of our lives back together. Maybe you've been living, believing that you're just going to make it to this in life. And I'm not talking about financial stature. Maybe God has called you and raised you up to be a successful businessman that's wealthy enough to be a blessing to other people, or somebody that's dedicated and loving, committed enough to take care of your family, and that's it. Maybe God has called you to do that. Maybe God has called you to be a person of greater influence than you are right now. But everybody somehow, somewhere has some form of influence on another person. The fact that the person next to you is sitting on the chair in the way they're sitting next to you is because of the influence that you have on them. I'm going to use Rudy and Lydia's example. The reason they're sitting like that is because of the influence that they have on the next person. They love each other. So they're showing that. And this morning, I encourage you to, would you let God renew your mind and change the way you think about who you are? Let's take a few moments as the deep end just sets the tone for us and creates the atmosphere with worship in the background. That ask God this morning, Holy Spirit, as we pray together in the name of Jesus, if there's a lie that the enemy has told us this morning as to how he thinks we're supposed to be and we've believed that lie, would you show that to us this morning? And Lord, if I've spoken things over myself that is contrary to what you've said over me, Lord God, show me that this morning. I pray, Lord God, as we seek your face together, would you help us see who we are in you? And Lord, this thing of potential, would you make it real to each person this morning? Each individual, Lord God, would you help us to see who we are in Christ Jesus? And before we go on to try and imagine things that demand huge, huge, huge responsibility, let's just take responsibility of where we are at in our lives right here and now. Maybe you don't even feel worthy that God would want to let his son die for you. And I want to tell you, my brother, my sister, that's a lie from the devil. Jesus didn't come and die because we're not worth something because he's died for us. It's because we're worth something already that he died for us and gave his life for us. I want to encourage you this morning as we're praying there together. Maybe you are totally unsure of where you stand in your relationship with Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to make peace with God in this moment, in this place, today, here and now. Not another time, not another moment, here and now. Maybe you don't believe that, Lord, I'm worthy of so much more. I want to tell you that God has written to us and he's used me this morning to tell you the truth, that he's called you to be like his son Jesus. Would you receive that and accept it for yourself this morning? Maybe you're not sure of your relationship with God. Maybe you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity if you're going to die. And if you're not 100% sure in your heart that if you died, where you'd spend eternity, if that's you, if you're not sure, anybody like that, please put up your hand. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that in this building this morning? You're not sure of your salvation. Once you've put your hand up, you can put it down again. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. And I'm not talking about church membership. Just maybe you're convicted of what you've done wrong, and you know that it's grieved God's heart, and you just want to make right with God. Maybe you've done it several times before, and now again today you're not at that place where you're sure again. I want to ask you one more time. Anybody like that, put up your hand, please. Okay. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Bless you. Bless you, thank you. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray two prayers this morning as for all of us this morning. Lord, this that we've heard about who we can be in Jesus and the confidence that you have in us. I pray, Lord God, that will be that will prevail over any other confidence we have in anything that anybody else has spoken over us, or any confidence that we have in ourselves. The confidence and the belief and the faith that you have in us. Let us take that home, Lord God, and apply that to our lives as we live in this victory, Lord. As we step out and be the men and women of God that you have called us to be in Christ Jesus. We want to do that this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us as we pray together? All of us, as we stand, as we get ready to worship the Lord together one more time. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. For those of you that have raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to do something very, very bold. We'd love to pray with you. We do not want to embarrass you or take your name and your number and recruit you for membership. We love you with the love of Jesus. We want to make sure that you walk a healthy spiritual walk with God. And if you're here this morning, God knows who you are. Ek gaan nie smeek nie en druk op jou sit nie, but I want to ask you in the name of Jesus, would you please just give us an opportunity to pray with you? You're not somebody that's broken that we're trying to fix. Ons het nie 'n oplossing vir jou nie. Ons wil net saam met jou bid dat jy kan verstaan waar jy staan in geestelike sake. If you've raised your hand this morning because you're not 100% sure in your heart of hearts in your relationship with Jesus, please come forward straight away. You know who you are, come forward.